Hello, ladies and gentlemen, TFU and Mike here from the Geekcast Radio Network and all things Transformers. I just wanted to come in here at the beginning of this episode here in the winter of Bayhem to let everyone know that at some point during this episode, most likely an ad break or something, we are going to flash back to the past, all the way back to Toycast's supplemental Revenge of the Fallen discussion with Protoman and the late, great Optimus Scourge. I've got a couple of clips that I've clipped out of that 2 hour long and plus episode that we did way back when. And it's just to remember Gary. It's just to reflect the fact that this was the one Transformers movie that he and I and Proto Man discussed at the time. And it's a celebration of what has happened here on the network and everything else. Meanwhile, Steve Megatron and I will be discussing the rewatch of the film kind of thing, as we are doing here in the winter of Bayhem. So, just wanted to give everyone a heads up on that. Now, on with the show.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
This August, All Things Transformers will celebrate 15 years of being online, and now our full film reviews of the Transformers live-action films continue. This time around, we watched the film that started the series down the low road, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. I'm Steve Megatron, and joining me in this winter of Bayhem is TFU.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, boy.
This one is the downfall.
Yes,
Revenge of the Fallen. Ah. Answers our question.
Yes, yes, it does. And the sad thing is, I have, picked out, 10 things that I actually like about it, which is weird, because I remember this movie being so horrible. And just like
we... because we got two more films after Dark of the Moon that really sucked.
Mm-hmm.
It put this one and the next one in a lighter, in a brighter light.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of, I don't know. I was still, back in 2009 when the late, great Optimus Scourge, myself, and I think it was either Proto Man or PR, somebody was there on Toycast with us that we did the Revenge of the Fallen theatrical film review episode. I'll have that linked in the show notes, folks, but it wasn't as god-awful as I think this one just, and trust me, I understand, it was, let's just get this out of the way right now, it was written by a guy that, yes, we can blame Orsman and Kurtzy all we want, but really, Aaron Kruger was the one that wrote this one because of the writer's strike and all of that, and what's crazy is looking at his credits, and this makes me so mad. I don't understand how this happened. So he started with The Ring, Don't Watch This, then Rings, Ring 2, The Skeleton Key, The Brothers Grimm, Blood and Chocolate. He was the screenplay writer on that. Then he wrote Revenge of the Fallen. He wrote Dark of the Moon. He wrote Age of Extinction. He was a writer on the TV movie Tin Man. He did a screenplay for 2017's Ghost in the Shell. Brothers Grimm TV series, he was a writer on that. He wrote the screenplay for the 2019 Dumbo. And somehow he wrote the screenplay for Top Gun Maverick, one of the best films out currently. I guess there's room for improvement from 2022 back to 2009, right? I guess. I don't know. But watching this again today, I was like, yeah, there's a lot of cringe in this movie. Yeah, it's poorly written. Yeah. But the robots, the military, and what sort of Transformers mythos they were able to write into it was halfway decent. I can't believe I'm even saying that. I really cannot believe I'm even saying that at all, because this movie just has that, you mention it to people, oh, that was the bad one. And for me, because I've never made it through it all, and I'll make it through it all later in the Winter of Bayhem, but like the last night, if I, of all people, clock out after 10 minutes and don't want to watch it again and have not watched it since I was, you know, whatever, but like, yeah, Revenge of the Fallen, I don't know, ain't, it's bad, but it ain't like that bad, I guess. Thoughts?
Well, this film, while the start of the downfall, mm-hmm. had a lot of good, it had mm-hmm. a lot of bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The bad kind of starts out with, again, the parents.
Oh, yeah, that's an understatement. Yeah, they got worse somehow.
The mother continually gets worse through yeah. these next two. Oh,
God. Like, the dad, I liked. I mean, I like him as an actor. I kind of was annoyed with him in 2007, obviously. But, like you just said, the mother is the one that gets so much worse.
Yeah.
So,
and then I hate Leo.
Yeah, Leo is useless.
He was just a screaming face through the entire film.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite part with him was where Simmons,
yep,
he tasers him. And he says, yep. Can't stand that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought Simmons was going to be bad in this movie because
Simmons was one of the best parts of this
yep.
movie.
Yeah. I think the only thing I still cringe at. I'm directly below the enemy scrotum.
The enemy scrotum.
Yeah, that's the only thing. One man alone, betrayed by his
country. And he's like, you're not alone. He says, one man alone, betrayed by the country he loves.
Yep. And it isn't nostalgia, folks. It really, really isn't. And I have no nostalgia. Like I've said.
Oh, I don't either. I'm only remembering this because I watched it recently.
Yeah. Well, as of this recording, I watched it about 2 hours ago before we started the recording. But I have not watched it since we initially maybe covered it like years ago and all. Well, since that ToyCast episode. So that was 2000. Yeah, I haven't watched this movie since 2009. Because I just haven't wanted to go back to it. And I understand, I wasn't really trying to start a Twitter thread about, like, my watch through of this, but, like, part of the Twitter thread, I say something like, and yes, I know the Winter of Bayhem was my idea to do this, but if we are going to call ourselves all things Transformers, at least on the majority, 95% of it, we have to cover the majorest of major things. And, you know, Sam's mom and Brownie's bad acting. One of the positives. Oh, look, it's Dr. Claw in space.
Yeah, what? I did love that they brought Walker back in.
Yeah.
They had him play Soundwave and they mm-hmm. had him play. I forget who the other character was.
Oh, Frenzy, maybe?
No, it wasn't Frenzy. It was Ravage. He played Reed Man.
Yep.
He played Grinder.
Yep.
He played Devastator.
Yep. I remember that. But let's face it, Soundwave's all that really matters to us.
Yeah. And I was like, yes, they got the man back.
They got the man back, yeah. And I do have, you know, like I said in the last episode with 2007, the military people, specifically Lennox and Epps, Tyrese and Josh Duhamel. I love their characters. I love the way they are. My favorite I can't believe I'm uttering these words. My favorite human scene, I'm using air quotes with my fingers, folks, is when Lennox tricks the CIA guy to open his chute and basically just fly off the jet. And I love Jetfire. He really, like, that's my grandpa. My grandpa passed away way back in 2000, in the year 2000. But, like, literally, that's everybody. Jetfire is everybody's grandpa in this movie.
He was pretty funny. I mean, I didn't mind him. And he was like, he's a Decepticon. And he's like, oh, I don't care about that. He's mm-hmm. like, can I see the Prime?
Mm-hmm. And the only good contribution that the idiot ice cream people have, or ice cream robots have, is Mean robots suck. That's the only good thing that.
Well, I like where he jumped in Devastator.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, "Oh no, man, he ate him. He ate him." And then he loses it, and then his brother comes flying back out.
Hmm. That's yeah. Yikes.
Talk about acid reflux.
We'll get into this deeper, but another initial thing I noticed with this movie is, first of all, Peter Cullen. I know I'm going to say something later about him, and we all agree that that is a line that just Optimus should not say.
Give me your face.
Yes, yes. But his performance as Optimus with the messages, with the this, with the that, and then you kill Sam. You have Sam go to the AllSpark, sort of, kind of, not really, but sort of. And he faces looks like there's like 5 primes there, not 13, but he basically faces the other primes. And who's the voice of the primes? It's motherfucking Kevin Michael fucking Richards. I'm like, okay, movie saved. One voice or two voice between Peter Cullen and Kevin Michael Richardson. Movie saved for me. Okay, good. Bye-bye. Yeah, I just absolutely lost my... Like, I remember he was like... But, like, again, just hearing his voice... Like, come out of a robot that isn't Bulkhead, which he was fine as Bulkhead in Prime. Absolutely love him as that character, but just it's those little touches. And I think because of the writer's strike and because of whatever deadlines they may have been on back then, this didn't have to, it has the Michael Bay touch, but not with the Cybertronian aspects of the robots. It has the Michael Bay touch in other ways with the robots, like with the Ice Cream Twins, Skids and Mudflap, or like with the Pretender chick and her...
She had tentacle. Tentacle tongue.
Yeah, tentacle tongue, tentacle...
No, don't get me wrong. I like the idea of the Pretender. I didn't like the execution.
Yeah, no.
I did love that Michaela crashed him into a telephone pole and ran him over.
Yep. Yeah, that was awesome. And yeah, I don't know. I didn't totally hate this movie on this most recent rewatch. I understand
I was kind of surprised. I wanted to hate it.
I did too. But it's these moments, and the moment where we get to the point, like, literally, I'm watching this thinking, oh, like, I literally, the first thing I posted this morning on Twitter when I started this thread, the moment I have dreaded is here. Can I just watch it? Because I shared a screenshot of my Vudu watch list, and I'm in the middle of rewatching A Pup Named Scooby-Doo for the millionth time. And then right under it is Revenge of the Fallen. Can I just watch A Pup Named Scooby-Doo instead?
I saw you post that.
Yeah, the things I do for podcasting. Like, I'm thinking this, and there are bad moments in this movie. There absolutely are. Like we've said, the mother, the this, the that. Leo is... Leo, and I'm glad they did not include the other two knuckleheads that were with him. They're there, but Leo is the only one that gets to go on the adventure to Egypt, kind of thing. Because if there was 3 other humans besides Sam there, oh, God. 3 other college humans is what I mean to say. But, yeah, like, is it something I'm going to watch again? No, probably not. Most likely, I may never watch it again. But for me, the things that I took out of this, the things that I get, like when they finally get to find the Matrix and it turns to dust, and like I just mentioned earlier about Sam dying and going to the AllSpark, and you know, the Matrix is earned. And, you know, he wakes up and he gets the shock and says, "I love you," to Michaela. "Well, you said it first," blah, 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 blah. Look, it doesn't matter who says it first. Hell, say it at the same time, you idiots. It doesn't really matter. The feeling is the whatever, human feelings, get over it. But when he sits there and shoves the Matrix into Optimus's chest, I was like, oh, this has been a perfect place. Even though I love, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but this would have been the perfect place to just have a couple of notes of the song that we know we wanted in this movie. And sadly, it's not there. But
nope.
I will say, I need to correct myself because I'm sure, which no one has done this yet, but in case anyone hasn't listened to the last episode, I had mentioned the Linkin Park song, and I think at one point in the 2007 episode, I mentioned New Divide. New Divide is the Linkin Park song in this movie. The one that was in 2007 was What I've Done. And the reason why I kind of got them confused was because I remember back in the day, Linkin Park released an instrumental version of New Divide, and I absolutely loved it. I actually just found it today in my 15 years of having all these files for podcasts on my computer. And yeah, so that was great. Yeah, the only sticking points I have are Leo and the mother, really. Everything else was fun.
It was pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, surprisingly, it really, really was. I still kind of like, oh, that's what they're doing. They're doing the solar needle. So again, like if the writer's strike, which it was going on, I'm not saying if the writer's, you know what I mean? The writer's strike was going on. I don't know where Michael Bay was or what he was doing as the director of this second film, because I remember all the interviews and everything of, other than him wanting Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime, he's like, well, we got to do the humans and we got to do this. He has never, at least in those initial years ago interviews, said anything about wanting to put Transformers lore into these films. And yet somehow Aaron Kruger and Orsi and Kurtzman pull the mother freaking solar needle plot from G1 out of their ass. Cause that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
This weapon that they don't get to use, thank God. But basically the Fallen wants to destroy the sun, which then would obviously destroy the planet and blah, 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 all that. So I find that amusing. And that's the basic plot. What was your reaction to, like, what were some of your favorite moments from this?
Well, some of my favorite moments would be, like I said, Leo getting tasered.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Jetfire.
Yep.
And then his self-sacrifice. I hated the twins.
Yeah, they suck.
I hated the mom.
Yep.
I didn't mind Shia.
Yeah.
And Megan. Like, they both were pretty decent.
Yeah.
So on that front, I didn't mind it. It was pretty decent overall. I loved Simmons in this, whereas in the first one, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the plot wasn't terrible. I loved Megatron up until you found out he was basically simping for
the Fallen.
The Fallen. And I was like, oh, man, because this is where they got the idea for War for Cybertron.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
Yeah.
But I mean, on a whole, like, I visually it wasn't terrible. I didn't mind some of the stuff that happened. I thought it was kind of a cop out to have Prime quote unquote die.
Yeah.
Just to get brought back later. Like, don't get me wrong, they did the same thing with Megatron. I feel like if you're going to try and do continuations, don't kill them off, which they kind of righted that in this one for the next film.
Yep.
So there is that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it still wasn't my favorite because I felt like I was watching the clock a lot.
Yeah.
I was looking at my watch, like, okay, we can move on. We can move on. Yeah. There were points, like, when he was in college, I fast-forwarded. I did like where he kind of went schizo
in the classroom.
The lecture hall.
Yep.
And the teacher, the professor, is like, not in my classroom in front of the dean.
Yeah, not in my universe. This is my... I'm like, oh, God, teacher.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen teachers like that before.
Yeah. So
that is legit.
Absolutely.
I thought it was humorous, but I thought also that, you know, okay, he just showed him up in class. And yep. I've done that before. Not as rudely as what Sam did in this film, but I have shown up teachers before on knowing more than they do in certain subjects. Which that drives me nuts with anywhere. Like, I can't help it. Like, if I'm, I had a couple employers ago where, I worked for their company and their hosts were talking about pop culture. Mind you, they talked politics.
Mm-hmm.
I could stomach so much of that,
right,
but
yeah,
there came a point where, you know, you heard the same thing every day and it's like, okay, dude, like have something constructive to say. Don't just regurgitate what you said yesterday or what the last guy said on the last show.
Yeah.
And then they would talk pop culture and I'm sitting here and I'm like banging my head on the desk and I'm like, you guys have no idea what you're talking about. It's like, I've been covering this stuff for years. Cause they had like, there was an incident with Shia LaBeouf and at one point when I worked there and then there was an incident with, some other pop culture related stuff. And they were so off. I was like, if you can't get simple facts correct on some of the things, like, why are you discussing this?
Yeah.
That would, you know, I was correcting them in our Slack channel with the people that were producing the content. Like, hey, this is wrong.
Yep.
Here's why. Like, and I had 5 seconds to look it up. And I mean, I get, you know, like Sam's outburst, except his was fueled by, you know, Cybertronian technology in his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Megatron, you know, how he took Sam. I did kind of hate how they dragged the characters, like the humans. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's throw them against this. Let's launch them over here. Let's stick
them. Yeah, that's not. Like, yeah, they'd be dead.
They would be dead. Like, it's like the Die Hard syndrome.
Yep.
It's like watching John McClane do all this stuff. Like, how many times would he have died in this film?
Oh,
like, God. CinemaSins. I think it'd be hilarious to go and watch a CinemaSins of this film.
Oh, jeez.
Just to see how bad. I'm gonna look it up just for the sake of saying how many times he would have died. But
okay.
But I enjoyed the film to an extent. Like I said.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a lot of that instance.
And again, it's the human element at fault here. It's not, okay, yes, Optimus Prime, the leader from Generation 1, the leader from the cartoon, that's not technically this character. It is and it isn't, but should he be saying, give me your face? No, he should be saying something else to the enemy or something. Or,
it's over, Fallen.
Yeah, or some, oh, that was the, like, he's been Optimus Prime for both films, correct? Like, the name of the character has been, like, it isn't Orion Pax, it isn't this, it isn't that. He didn't just, okay, yes, technically he did just get the Matrix in this movie, but, like, the line where instead of the classic line of one shall stand, one shall fall, he goes, I rise and you fall. And I'm like, okay, that's not as cringeworthy as give me your face, but that's still not a line that I don't know. It's just...
So CinemaSins didn't do how many times he would have died.
Okay.
But they did give it a 205 sins.
Oh, Jesus.
And then it says, verdict, robot castration. you know, Jetfire teleporting him in the desert and them getting launched and him breaking his hand. They used that as a crutch because he got in a car accident during the filming. And they had to come up with a way that he was, you know, he broke his arm or his hand.
At least they didn't just replace him and say, oh, this actor is now being played by this guy.
Oh, you know, like Sam Witwicky got transformed.
Transformed.
He did an Autobot Jazz with him.
Yeah.
Or Autobot Spike.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just... What's funny is like, CinemaSins had so much wrong with Age of Extinction. They did a part one and a part two.
Oh, no.
Because it was so long. Yeah. I want to like these films more than I should.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean.
And I don't know if it's just because we're going through and rewatching them finally that we're
I think sometimes when you rewatch something after the fact, years later, you get more of an appreciation for it. Like, yeah. I absolutely loathed Deep Space Nine and Voyager and Enterprise during certain points. And I quit watching Trek for a long time. Yeah. I rewatched and started blitzing them over the last 4 or 5 years and really enjoyed them. Like, really enjoyed it. And then when we got to, you know, the newer stuff, like, I'll legitimately say I can't rewatch it, which, which, you know, I mean, I'm sure I will if there comes to a point where I have to do a review show or something, but in this instance, I'm not upset I rewatched it. Like, it's not that bad. Like, it's not Star Trek Into Darkness bad. Like, that was just a travesty and dog snot. Like, this is highly redeemable by comparison, and it's wrote by the same guys.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, I give them some slack on this film based on that alone, knowing that this is the last time they will write for the Transformers franchise, which, given a choice of what we got in, you know, like Age of Extinction and The Last Knight, I would have much preferred these guys writing, because at least they did a trilogy. Like, they wrapped it up. They had, you know, Sam's story wrap up in Dark of the Moon. This is kind of his stage, like, but I could deal with it. Like, whereas getting the rest of it, you know, I'm totally fine with this trilogy. It's when they tried to start another one that it kind of went down the crapper further. Like, I think this is the low point of this trilogy.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I am sad, though, that Michaela was only in it for the remainder of this one.
Yeah.
Because,
well, they explained,
don't get me wrong, I don't mind his new girlfriend in the second film. I just liked her better in this one.
Oh, man, the voice cast in this. Wow.
I know, they're diverse.
It's just so... Okay, so there are seven primes, and Kevin Smith... Michael Richardson was prime number two.
Not Kevin Smith.
Yeah, no. Hell no. Don't ever. Nope. Not
you
even.
Almost said it, so...
I almost said it, and I apologize. I'm sorry. But I should have known this by listening to the voice of Wheelie, of course. It's SpongeBob. It's Tom Kenny who does the voice of Wheelie, Skids, and Mudflap.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Reno Wilson is Mudflap. And
well, Tom Mark Kenny's... Ryan is playing Jetfire.
Yes. I don't understand why I like his Jetfire more than I like his Bumblebee.
Because his Bumblebee was basically non-existent.
True.
I mean, he still goes, or talks with the radio. Like, I felt that that was trying way too hard to find clips instead of just doing the easy thing and getting an actor.
Yeah. The one thing I will also praise for this film and almost all of these films at this point is the sound design and the sound effects. If you just close your eyes, ignore the dialogue, ignore the explosion effects, but that opening with the Paramount stars and those sound effects, like those robotic sound effects, oh, it is so good. It's just so much fun. Anything other? I mean, I think we've kind of covered the negatives, but was there anything else you wanted to discuss on this one? I know this is kind of short, folks, but... Again, like, I'm surprised. I figured I was going to have this laundry list of, like you said with CinemaSins, like minute by minute, like I hated this, I hated this, I hated that, and I hated this, I hated this, I hated that. It isn't like that. I hate like 10 specific things about this, and I like 10 specific things about it. And the sad thing is the 10 specific things that I hate, one of them, as we've said, is the acting on the part of the actress that does Sam's mom. But that lasts for so damn long. The fact that Kevin Dunn as the dad is so much better in this, like we're past the point of him making dad jokes about Ferraris and things like that. We're past all of that. We're not, you know, Michael Bay switched it over to the mom of having her do all the stupid comedic bits. And, you know, that scene at the end where he's, you know, he and Sam are having, you know, dad, I have to go. You have to stay here. You have to. And then he's like, fine, Sam, go, but come back. You know, I was like, oh, like, yeah, my heart, it's kind of, you know, feeling shit it probably shouldn't feel about a movie that is probably most people would just dismiss as crap.
Agreed.
I don't know. As far as holding up and things like that, I don't really look at like, oh, and that's the other thing about this one. First of all, we practically drop, other than the CIA guy, we drop all the analyst stuff. We drop all the additional humans. Like there are no, you know, like was in the first movie. And because this was 2009, we had just had an election. The first movie, they mention the president, but they don't mention who the president is, I don't think, in that. Or if they did mention it, they made
it. No, the first movie, they had George W. Bush.
Oh, they okay.
He was in Air Force One.
Oh, that's right. That's okay.
He was like, yeah, well, he, you know, they did the joke, you know, and had a had a sound alike, and he was like, hey, get me a Twinkie. Hey.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I wasn't these films kind of, you know, whatever, folks, but. Like, I kind of like that, oh, right, 2009 was still the Obama era. I was like, that's kind of cool or whatever. But, like, there really wasn't too much. There was more militaristic stuff than there was government stuff because, like I already said, Josh Duhamel tricked the government guy to just, you know, pulling his own parachute. So, yes, the film kept my interest. I don't know if I'm really like I remember Dark of the Moon. I remember certain parts of it. I remember certain parts liking it, but I don't remember it all that much because it's been 13 years since Dark 2011. So, yeah. Yeah. So or 12 years. Maybe. No, 13. Yeah. It was, anyway, math is hard, folks. I don't know if I'm itching to watch the next one. I do know that once we get to this question at the end of the next episode, I'll probably say, nope, I'm done. Trilogy over.
Yeah, I was ready for it to be done. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, who knows?
Yes, who knows? And if you look at our, which we have, I most of the time have it in every post on the website. If you look at our GCRN Universal Ratings scale, you will see our ratings. And I'm probably going to give this a 2.5 or a 3 out of 5.
I'm going to give it about the same.
I can't go any lower because there won't be anywhere lower to go once we
get. I'm gonna give it a 3 in that case.
Okay. Well, that's on you. Let me just look again and see here. Anything else you want to bring up while I'm looking this up?
No, I mean, like I said, it could have been a lot worse, and it's about to get that way.
Yeah.
Just after Dark of the Moon.
Yep. Yeah, where is this crap? Yay, editing.
Oh. Well, and you can tell what era Dark of the Moon came out to.
Yeah.
Because of one of the actors.
Oh, yes. Yep.
And he was in the Hangover films. And
that's very true.
Yeah. And very fitting for his role. And then, you know, Malkovich And there were some throwaway characters in that, but we'll get to that film when that's time. But it's that film is going out on a higher note than what this film does. And
So
it goes downhill.
So according to our scale that we've had for God knows how many years now, thanks to the comic concierge Dan Clark, 3.0 is average out of 5. While the overall takeaway was positive, you do not necessarily walk away happy. It does not extraordinarily succeed in any specific areas, or if it does, it gets weighed down by something as equally unsuccessful, though overall enjoyable. It is easily disposable. I can live with a 3 out of 5. It's average. Yep. And like I said, there are many things about this film that I did actually like, which did, the Twitter thread I mentioned, I was like, I'm supposed to be kind of sort of crapping on this movie, and yet I have nothing but, like, nice things to say about it for some odd reason.
Yeah, it, like I said, it could be worse.
Yeah, and it gets worse.
Yes,
so
it does.
All right, we are going to go to a quick break. Come back to close the show after this. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to go back to the past, to 2009 Toycast's Revenge of the Fallen. Featuring myself, TFG1 Mike, the goddamn Proto Man, and the late great Gary Clark, a.k.a. Optimus Scourge.
Revenge of the Fallen. We've all seen it. I have Gary / Optimus Scourge with me and the goddamn Proto Man. Hello, guys.
Hey, hey.
How y'all doing?
I'm doing pretty good, I guess. This was kind of like a spur-of-the-moment thing because Gary couldn't remember what day it was. He thought we were doing Toycast tonight, the contest reveal, and that's not until tomorrow night.
My mind is mush, but I saw the movie again today at a matinee, so that cured the hangover of that.
No wonder this thing has almost hit the $400 million mark. You're putting more money into it than anybody else.
I've gone once to opening night myself. Mm-hmm. I took my kids the next day to a matinee, so that's 4 tickets. Mm-hmm. And then I took my wife and kids. That's 4 more tickets. Mm-hmm. That's, what, like 8 there. And then I went myself the last 2 days at a matinee. Yeah. And I got one for free because they messed up something on my order. So I wasn't going to go for the 5th time. I was just going to wait, but I ended up going for free.
Cool.
I feel bad only seeing it 3 times.
Well, I've only seen it once, and I barely remember it, actually, only because it was such a horror to try to get out to the theater that...
Well, don't worry. We'll kind of,
Skids and Mudflap in their first appearance also in the movieverse, who are actually first appearing in their legendary ice cream truck mode, which actually...
And then it has the Decepticon sign, suck my popsicle.
Suck my popsicle.
I hope Repo Labels makes that for the toy.
There's another emotional scene where it's, Michaela's finally able to hold him and cry, and Sam blames himself for the death of Optimus Prime. I guess we could call Sam Hot Rod. I don't know.
No. wrong. No.
I would call him Hot Rod. Yeah, anyways.
I wonder how many takes that took. You need to be more serious. You need to be more like you care about people.
He's dying here.
You seemed a little pitchy, dog.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba weep grana, weep ninny bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content. Till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
We are back here on All Things Transformers, the Winter of Bayhem. Any last final thoughts, any words you want to part with the audience before I run through the closing, sir?
Give me your face.
I'd like to amend that line. Listen to all of our podcasts.
But... sound like you're trying to do Macho Man Randy Savage.
No, not really.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. All right. Anything you got going on that you want to talk about?
Nothing at the moment, although some things might be brewing on the voiceover side of things, that little projects, which I'll be happy to elaborate on if they pan out.
Cool, cool. Thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Huge thanks to Brad Mull for interacting with us over on our Facebook page, which I will mention the Facebook page thing in a moment. But very, very cool. And yes, Brad, we weren't saying that you were cringing at us shitting all over these movies, but that was one of the things that you were worried about, at least with, you know, whatever. But very, very cool. Thank you so much for listening, as always. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any podcatching client you choose to use. I prefer Spotify, but that's just me. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network, at All Things TFV3 for the show. I am at TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
At SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. You can also check out All Things Transformers over there as well. Join us next time when Steve and I will be talking about The Dark of the Moon in the Winter of Bayhem, Part 4. For now... dun, dun, dun. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
Steve Megatron.
We hope you'll transform and transcend with us as we make our way through the Bayhem.
Yes. I wish to speak to my lawyer.